Hello, I'm Warwick Ashford with a roundup of IT news highlights brought to you by Computer Weekly. First, a countdown of the past week's five most popular stories on computerweekly.com. At number five, Barclays uses video evidence to fight e-crime. At number four, open source exposing businesses to significant risk. At number three, BT to outsource £1 billion of business to Indian partner. At number two, IBM seeks to stop counsel divulging £400 million contract details. And in top spot, Westminster Council IT infrastructure free by 2015. And in that story, the Westminster City Council aims to be infrastructure free within 7 years by outsourcing all of its IT services. The aim of the project is to increase efficiency, transfer risk, get better quality of service, and increase flexibility. It will see the council transfer all of its IT services to suppliers, who will also be responsible for day-to-day IT management. Rebecca Thompson takes a more in-depth look at that story based on an interview with Westminster CIO David Wild in the next edition of Computer Weekly magazine. Rebecca, I've mentioned some of the aims of the project. What were you able to find out about the challenges?
One of the aims of the of going infrastructure free is to increase flexibility, and the reason for doing this is because a lot of legislation that comes from central government can kind of change the demands on councils' IT infrastructures. But in outsourcing that, you need just as much flexibility from suppliers, and that can actually push costs up, because if suppliers are having to provide that, then they sort of demand extra money. So for the first councils who do this, it might actually push their costs up in that way. But eventually, apparently, once everybody's doing it, then I guess the cost will start to come back down again. But it's something to bear in mind for those who are doing it first.
Are there indications that others will do it?
Well, people appear to think that this is a trend and it will catch on. It'll probably catch on quite slowly, because obviously it's a massive jump to take, but people do appear to think it's the sort of way forward, especially for public sector and especially for local councils, because they don't have a huge amount of money available all the time, so getting rid of IT infrastructure can be the way forward for them.
Also featured in the next edition of Computer Weekly magazine, Carl Flinders writes that IT suppliers have so far avoided the worst effects of the credit crunch. The number of UK technology suppliers issuing profit warnings almost halved in the second 3 months of this year compared with Q1, according to Ernst & Young. Other sectors, including finance and house building, are struggling. Carl, why have IT suppliers been shielded from the downturn?
I think it's because businesses are still investing in IT, whether it's to get a competitive advantage in a tough market or because they've got long-term projects that they can't just suddenly stop putting money into.
Are IT suppliers likely to continue being better off than other sectors?
I think they'll see a slowdown when all these long-term projects by big corporates come to an end, and when the new budgets are written for IT departments, I'm sure they'll be a lot lower than expected.
Ian Grant writes that Royal Mail has lifted the wraps on how it plans to spend up to £1.2 billion on IT-related projects over the next 3 to 4 years. Ian, £1.2 billion, that's a lot of money. What are they doing and why?
Well, it is a lot of money, and I have to say at the start, not all of it is going to be on IT stuff. However, let's go back to the beginning. Post Office is under competition in its most lucrative area, which is direct mail. So their primary strategy is to become the low-cost, most efficient provider so that they can take on the competition and beat them. Once they've got this platform, then they can leverage that and use it to get into other businesses. The primary one they're looking at is distribution of goods that are ordered online on behalf of online retail shops. So in order to get into that business, they must have a very reliable, robust system which allows them to identify an item when it comes into the system, track it through the system, and all the way to the door of the customer who's meant to be receiving this. So that's what they're doing. The vast bulk of the money is being spent on very automated, very intelligent automated sorting machines to primarily identify goods and get them into the system and route them in the right direction. Then in the local post offices, they're installing additional equipment which is going to pre-sort the mail or the different items and put them into the postie's bag so that they can deliver those very, very quickly and efficiently. In order to help them do that, they are exploring things like powered motorcycles to make it easier for the posties to carry more stuff. Then once they are actually delivered to the door, then the post office has bought 25,000 handheld terminals so that people can accept delivery electronically instead of writing it out. And this will, and all the information that's associated with this end-to-end is going to allow them to not only post office staff, but also customers to find out exactly where their parcel is in the system.
But that all covers what they're doing already. What else can they do with this technology investment?
Well, they are signing up technology partnerships with other suppliers. One of the more esoteric ones is with a company called BrandSense. And this is essentially an enhanced direct mail product, which allows post office to supply and deliver a direct mail package which customers can then taste or smell as well as look at, and the object being to improve the response rates of direct mail shots. Like everyone understands that most direct mail is quote unquote junk mail, and this is a way to take away that junk epithet so that people feel much more friendly and warmer about what they receive through the post. That's also interesting because it gets post office behind the front door, as it were. Far more associated with the customers. They already know a lot about the people who live at the addresses, and they might be, now this is speculation, but they might be able to leverage some of that into what the government is trying to do with its ID card program. Now we already know that the post office is going to, or has got a network of 11,500 post offices, most of whom are well entrenched with their communities. They know who lives there and what they do, and that seems to me to make a very, very good basis on which to identify people and possibly do some of the recruitment that the government is looking for in terms of its enrollment for the ID card program. That, I stress, is very, very speculative, but we do know that Post Office is talking to government about certainly delivering ID cards, but this is a way for it to hold on to its network, which is under threat, and add value to the basic proposition of a delivery system.
You can find these articles and more IT-related news in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine or online at computerweekly.com.